Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, February 6, 2024. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Melody. Happy Frozen Yogurt Day.
Oh, can't wait.
Oh, boy, as someone might say. Well, I defrosted my sugar-free Greek yogurt last night, so my breakfast today wasn't exactly frozen, but yeah, you get the point, right?
Yeah.
Later, I'll be talking about Internet Safety Day as part of our Levity is Golden segment after our first break.
Okay, sounds like a good plan. I was just reading right before we came on air where I saw where the bankrupt trucker, Yellow, repay $700 million in COVID loans and $150 million in interest, almost $1 billion.
Wow.
What's interesting, though, is if they had the money, $1 billion, maybe that was because they had to liquidate things. I didn't read to see, of course...
Why'd they take the loan in the first place if they had that kind of cash?
Like, well, they did. Yellow did have to sell most of its shipping centers and real estate for $1.9 billion. So they still have almost another billion. The money Yellow boasts that it repaid the federal government is but a fraction of the $5 billion the hardworking Teamsters gave back to this mismanaged company in wage and pension concessions for more than a decade. Money that workers to this day have not seen.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah. So anyway, I wonder where that money went. Wonder where that's going to. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. And big money at work. Let's go ahead and see what the big money in gold did today. Gold was up $10, $2,052. Silver was up a couple cents at $22.50. Platinum was up $8 at $911, and palladium was down $3 at $952. The paper markets today, you had the Dow up 141 points. The S&P was up 11. The NASDAQ was also up 11 points. European markets were all positive. None of them were up over 1%. Asian markets, the Nikkei was down 0.5%. China was up 3%. Oil was up 70 cents at 73.48. Natural gas was down at 2.00. 10-year yield, that was down a little bit. You know, I'm so worn out with these interest rates where every little stinking comment moves the markets. Why don't they just wait and see what happens? It just drives me insane because all of this buildup and it means absolutely nothing. You know, so the Treasury yields dip as uncertainty over rate cut outlook persists. Okay, so we're at 4.09%. I mean, it's just dries.
Yeah, the only ones who really care about this are the big traders, who, you know, live and breathe by minute by minute ups and downs in the Treasury market, and you know, other foreign exchanges and what have you. You know, a basis point here, basis point there. You know, whether they're trading outright, buying and selling, or shorting a market. You know, it's
a lot to them.
Indeed.
You know,
their lifeblood, as it were.
You know, but and it also goes to show you how bad it is dictated by their abilities to make half a second transactions.
Yeah, high frequency trading. I mean, it's not just in stocks.
I mean, they have
bonds too.
I mean, I've been told that, you know, they have moved to these high frequency and these big deal, these hedge funds and so forth, they moved offices as close as they could to some of these departments and so forth that release the information. I mean, so they can make these trades. I mean, it's incredible.
Hey, even the New York Fed has two trading offices now, for God's sakes, one in New York and one in Chicago, I believe. So,
So you want to talk about rigged? I don't know if rigged is a rigged.
Oh, like, rigged for sure. Rigged toward big banks.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, and the little guy gets to go along and get, I guess maybe that's where the real trickle down might be. Because there is no such thing as trickle down, but maybe in the stock market, because you got all these big trades and it might trickle down to the little guy. If he's smart enough, if he's in the right spot at the right time.
Well,
if he sells, most people don't sell and then they end up losing it.
Yeah. I mean, most of the little guys in the stock market in particular are in it for the long haul, either through their IRA, their 401k, or their company pension plan, to the extent they exist anymore. So I'm not even sure. I mean, perhaps over the long haul, you know, there's a trickle down in that respect. But, you know, as the big boys and girls go ahead with their rather frequent, whether daily, weekly buying and selling. And I'm not talking about 100 shares or 50 shares. You know, we're talking here about tens of thousands of shares of various stocks. I mean, the gap in equality, or inequality, I should say, continues to rise.
Well, and I think that the most dangerous, I guess, two of the most dangerous is the long haul, or the long, long term, because when you get satisfied and think that long term is your friend, maybe it has in the past, but I'm not sure how it looks going forward. And because, I mean, day after day after day, we continue to, I mean, if people really don't think that we're having a deterioration of our financial system and our our monetary system. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what, to me, it's as clear as, you know, as it can be. I mean, things, I mean, Ray Dalio, he came back out in the scenes and he says it's not sustainable, and it isn't. But yet people just shrug that away. It's like, well, it's okay today, so I guess I'll be okay tomorrow too. And I don't understand why people can't take it more seriously. And
well, how should investors protect themselves, insure themselves against, you know, that, whether it's eventual or whatever, the black swan event, Melody?
Well, yeah, I mean, people insure their homes for fire. You hope you don't have a fire, but you still insure your home for it. Why wouldn't you do that with your wealth? Hope there's not a problem. Maybe they can carry it on for another couple of years, but why wouldn't you insure it? It's really, really very simple. But most people don't understand money. A lot of people don't want to cause any friction between their financial planners and their financial planners. And if people really sat down and figured out what they pay on an annual basis on their fees and trades, I think they can do just as good a job on their own and probably fare a little bit better. But that's just my view. And I think we should all pay attention to the Fed's Kashkari. He said, oh, the Fed, there's time to gauge incoming data. Sounds like Janet Yellen, but why wouldn't it sound like Janet Yellen when she has a position that she has before lowering interest rates? He said it is possible, at least during the post-pandemic recovery period. Oh, we're still in a recovery period. That the policy stance that represents neutral has increased, gives the FOMC time to assess upcoming economic data before starting to lower the Fed funds rate with less risk. That too tight policy is going to derail the economic recovery. And again, they're not going to lower rates until they really have to. I mean, that's, why would they? Why would they? And if they, as soon as they do raise or lower the rates, did I say raise or lower the rates? I meant lower the rates. As soon as they do lower the rates, and there isn't anything going on, you better buckle up, because I'm sure they're probably trying to be ahead of the game. Fed officials, of course, we know that they were interested or had an openness to cut interest rates sometimes this year, multiple times, as they said or projected, and people thought that they would do so. Kashkari said that supply side factors rather than monetary policy have done the hefty lifting to cool inflation. Really? Evidence for that includes resilient growth and a strong labor market. I'm sorry, resilient growth, 3.2. Is that resilient?
Well, I'll tell you, it is interesting that he admitted that supply factors rather than monetary, the Fed's monetary policy, has been doing, in his words, the heavy lifting.
Well, yeah, that's because he's in the Fed.
Yeah,
oh, it was our problem, huh?
Well, no, I mean, but this is saying that there are other factors here. It wasn't the Fed. It hasn't been the Fed that's been responsible for bringing it down the way it's come down. But, sure. You know, he probably realized what he had said, because right after that he said, you know, interest rate increases have played an enormously important role in keeping long-run inflation expectations low. And we know how inflation expectations, whether they're high or low, that tend to be self-fulfilling prophecies over time. In an essay he published last September, he said there was a 60% chance of the Fed achieving a soft landing, presumably this year. But now he also warns of a scenario where inflation could become entrenched, forcing the Fed to tighten policy further to restore price stability. Now, interestingly, I mean, they have a couple of ways of dealing with that. They don't just have to continue raising interest rates. I mean, there is that other part of monetary policy that's involved building up or, you know, loosening their balance sheet, you know, which almost hit $9 trillion last April. It's down, I think, around 7.7 trillion, something in that vicinity. So they could always start buying more treasuries and mortgage-backed securities rather than direct interest rate increases, which we know, you know, if it's not high inflation, high interest rates, both of them hammer the middle class and working poor. So who knows how we get out of this, but Kashkari concluded that this all the data out there suggests that the current stance of monetary policy may not be as tight as we would have assumed, given the low neutral rate environment that existed before the pandemic. So that just another sign that we ain't going to see cutting anytime soon, Melody.
No, not unless the markets become undone. And then that's their scenario. That's their operate. What is it?
The MO?
Yes, the MO. So
I agree with you.
That's what they do. And everybody knows it. So they bet accordingly. And that's what it is. It's the biggest gambling casino in the universe. But, you know, we have seen these market interest rates go a little bit higher Friday and yesterday. It makes it a little more expensive. The two-year Treasury securities, sensitive to the anticipated path of monetary policy, they yielded 4.47 yesterday, up from 4.19 from Thursday's close. So longer-term yields, which drive mortgage and other borrowing costs, that also spiked. The 10-year yielding 4.16 yesterday's Monday's close. Thursday, it was 3.86. That's a huge move.
30 basis points.
Yeah. And that was enough. I mentioned yesterday we saw the mortgage rates back up over 7% for the 30-year fixed. Thursday, it was 6.63. Huge. People might not think so, but it is if you're buying that home. So we saw it pull back a little bit today. And, you know, and again, you know, a lot of it has a lot to do with the jobs report from Friday, Dave.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yields are still well below their November levels, the Treasury yields, before that wave of data and all the Fed speak raised market confidence that several rate cuts would occur early this year. But now investors are jumpy as they reassess the odds that the Fed's on a path toward cheaper money. So volatility like that over the last couple trading sessions could well continue for some time. The Fed Fund future traders now see an 80% probability of rates staying the same in March and about a 67% chance of a rate cut of at least 25 basis points in May. Interesting, by the end of the year now, they see a roughly 90% chance that rates will be at least one full percentage point lower than they are today, suggesting four 25 basis point cuts, but also a 65% chance that there'll be at least 1.25 to 1.5 percentage points lower. You can follow the day-to-day and historical fluctuations in the CME Group's Fed Watch tool at cmegroup.com.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. And if it does, come on, baby. Gold's going to...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gold will skyrocket.
I saw another report today, I think it's from UBS. That thinks gold will breach 2,200 by the end of this year, and that silver will also have a heyday as the year goes on. All on the backs of rate cutting coming in the second half of the year.
Yeah, they push everything else underneath, you know, they brush it under the rug, you know, so you don't have to worry about any of the wars anymore. You don't have to worry about any oil anymore. You don't have to worry about inflation anymore. All's good. It's an election year. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away. I don't know what to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shining away. I'm coming for your love,
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, you know, we're just mentioning layoffs. There's more layoffs coming. There was a couple of them I saw. Estee Lauder, cosmetics giant, they're going to be cutting 1,800 to 3,100 jobs. I think that was the latest one that I saw. Let's see if there's any other ones here. And Dave, your favorite person, Jamie Dimon, he spent $117 billion propping up J.P. Morgan's share price with buybacks in 10 years. Yeah. So that's the market for you. That's all of Wall Street, all your paper markets, all these multinational corporations buying back their shares to prop up their price just so that, you know what, if they made buybacks illegal, what would the stock market do? Can't imagine.
It would be more transparent. Yeah, it would be a tad more honest. Share prices would be lower. More CEOs would probably, like Diamond, would be out of the job.
Yeah.
He wouldn't get bonuses because that's what their bonuses are based on, their shares.
50 million.
And they get paid in the share, so why not use the company money? It's really kind of funny. Very smart. Why not use the company money to buy back shares, because you get paid in shares and that pushes your value. Oh, my. And then you go sell them. People want to know why these CEOs sell their shares. Well, that's why.
Beautiful racket.
You know, it is a racket. It really, I mean, it's unbelievable. I'd be like myself buying, I don't know, $1 million worth of Mint State 61 $20 Liberties, pushing that price up and then selling my coin. That's, it's a pump and dump. That's what they do. It's a pump and dump scheme in Wall Street. Americans now own a collective $1.3 trillion on their credit cards. This is from the New York Fed. The report shows credit card balances increased by $50 billion, or roughly 5% in the fourth quarter of 2023. Just as, if not more alarming, credit card delinquency rates there, they're also jumping. And
8%.
Is that what that is? 8%?
The delinquency rate I read in another article is 8%.
Wow.
For credit cards.
Wow, that's quite a bit. And
7% of auto loans.
Wow. Wow. So let's see. Is there anything else in there that's of a lot of that stress is especially among younger and lower income households. That's no big surprise. I mean, that's probably where it's always at. You know, you get the lower incomes that go over their head, and the younger do the same. You know, they don't have the experience yet. So the study also shows 1/10 of credit card users find themselves in persistent debt, where they're charged more in interest and fees each year than they pay toward the principal. That's sad. That's the sad part.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the reason, well, I said part of the blame, I should say, for that, the average annual percentage rate on credit cards now is over 20%, an all-time high. And, you know, my own humble opinion, Melody, that's outrageous.
Yep.
And ought to be capped at a much lower rate. Whether through legislation or other means, excuse me, when a 30-year treasury is yielding, you know, around 4% for these banks, large and small, but largely large, the too big to fails. For them to be charging, you know, 20 to 30%. Remember, the average is just 20. There are lots that are around 30 percent. Well, on the other hand, I mean, that's responsible for, I think, a good part of the blame. But, you know, we can't fool ourselves. We've got to look in the mirror, and to the extent we've gone into debt, especially a lot of it on our credit cards, well, we can only blame ourselves. But sometimes, particularly eras of high inflation like we've had over the past few years, more and more everyday Americans just finding it harder to buy their basic necessities on, with earnings from their paychecks, thus more and more credit card debt, Melody.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, the interest rates are high, but let's look at why the interest rates are high. And, you know, it's people need to take accountability for what they do, what they spend. Money needs to be taught to kids in school. I mean, there's so many answers to the problems. You start capping the interest rates. It'll maybe put things in perspective. But again, I'm not one where government should get in there and start dictating even banks or credit cards because they are taking the risk, and it should be a real risk
that increases those interest rates, not anything else. And so, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I think what it shows from this report is, you know, we're a consuming nation. And the pay, the amount of jobs, the quality of jobs, the quality of educations for people to get decent jobs. I mean, it's almost broken. I don't know. It's a difficult place to be in today's world, especially young people starting out. And, you know, there's so much issues. And, but anyway, and it just makes it harder and harder, and it just snowballs. And that's what it is. It's just snowballing. So that's why I believe and I agree that it's not sustainable. And it will come to a head. It will peak. I think we've already peaked. I think we're on the downside, but it just hasn't gotten to the point where it crashes into something. You wanted to talk about National Internet Safety Day.
Dave. Yes, our periodic segment, Levity is Gold, features yes. Internet safety. Today, as Melody mentioned, in addition to National Frozen Yogurt Day, is National Internet Safety Day, which brings organizations and individuals together with the common goal of reaching as many internet users to provide them with the tools and resources to keep them and their families safe. Again, in the U.S. in 2013. Now it's celebrated around the world in 100 countries. Not sure to what end. There's growing collaboration between various U.S. Agencies, the European Commission, as well as support from numerous multinational corporations around the world. Every day we all face the potential of becoming a victim of internet crimes, and there sure are a lot of them. However, there are ways to protect ourselves and teach our children how to correctly use the internet, too. I mean, we use it for many reasons. Keep our families closer together. Stay in touch with friends as well. And like me, to do research for radio shows and newsletter articles and blogs. Schools use the internet to connect students to tools and other resources. Thanks to the internet, in fact, libraries are able to share books all over the country, creating a larger virtual library. Users bank, pay their bills, visit their doctors, order medications, and shop, all from the comfort of their laptops, desktops, and their phones, mobile phones. Interaction should be respectful and positive. However, more and more, because of the just wildly uncivil and divisive times we live in, and also because some of us tend to be careless, especially with things like our password, or we leave our device at risk, or the communication we send leaves a negative reaction behind for the world to see for all time. But as a world community, we can develop ways to make your internet a safer place to experience. Talk to your kids about using the internet safely. Certainly put up parental blocks to prevent your younger children from surfing spots you don't want them to be on. And speak up about cyberbullying. Start a dinner conversation about all this stuff. Just as important, though, I believe, contact your congressman and senator and urge them to be part of this solution.
Good luck with Melody? That.
Yes.
Good luck with that.
Levity is golden.
Your congressman and senator are too busy raising money for their campaigns. Yes.
Being or yes, whose campaigns are being funded in part by the likes of big tech.
Yeah. I don't know. It really is dangerous for the. You and I can talk here and talk to numerous people about the internet, but I don't think any of us have a clue We talk about how dangerous it is, and we can talk about all that goes on, but I don't think we really have a clue as to what really happens on the internet. I believe it is so far more evil and dangerous than what we even, I mean, you've got the dark web, pardon?
Yes. No, I'm just saying it's vast.
Yes.
And the dark web especially, yeah.
And we think of your worst case scenarios, and it goes deeper than that. And to keep your children safe, I mean, you might, and I would think, Dave, I don't know, I don't have children or grandchildren, so, but I would think that if you have children in today's age, that if you think that you know where they're online, you probably don't.
And, well, yeah, I'm afraid, speaking from personal experience, this is more with my children who are in their late 20s and early 30s. I do have the toddler grandchildren, which is, you know, that's critical for parents to monitor the sites and to really plug holes and not let them surf. I mean, my one grandson is regularly asking me to download these games meant for 17-year-olds and older, and I just say, sorry, buddy, nope. But it is. It's a dangerous world out there. People are getting hurt psychologically. They're hurting themselves. They're killing themselves, in fact, over some of this bullying nonsense. It just goes on and on. And
there's real predators.
Yeah, let's be careful.
There's real predators on that internet. And you know what? The internet 10 years ago isn't even what it is today.
No, my gosh.
You know, so it's, I can't imagine, you know, and I often thought about going to the dark web just to see what it is. I don't know what it is. Have you ever been there? Dave? Are you there, Dave? Did he hit his button?
Yeah. What happened there? I apologize.
That's okay. Did you ever go to the dark web?
You know, when was it? Last summer. I forget what prompted me. I looked into how to access it, but I never did. I was just concerned. I think I was following up in a story on some cryptocurrency-related crime. But I chickened out. I just was concerned that, you know, that I'd be
followed out,
hounded, and hacked by people with bad intentions. So I'm a dark web virgin.
I almost went there too. I had the access to go there, and it was just like, you know, it's like opening the door to hell.
Yeah, it's a Pandora's box.
And
exactly.
I didn't want to go there, and that's exactly what the internet is, and that's why I use the internet for what I need to use it for, and I just don't use it for anything else, and it is the door to hell, but. Let's talk about Turkey. We got a couple of minutes left. You know, poor Turkey. What their inflation rate, even back in 2022, soared to 85%. I'm surprised what's happening over there. I mean, their lira is falling out of bed. They lost another central bank chief. He gave his resignation. I mean, Turkey's deteriorating financial position is just over the top. The latest one to resign was a woman. She was the first woman ever to run the central bank under Turkey's strongman leader, who has been in power since 2003, Erdogan. He has repeatedly cut interest rates, even as their inflation rate soars. So it's Turkey's a different country. I mean, we talk about Venezuela, their inflation and so forth,
But turkey's a little bit of a different beast, I think. You don't know what, I mean, it's kind of dangerous to what they could possibly do if they continue to spiral into this, the degree of they have, Dave. I don't know. Yep.
Nope, you're right. It's, hey, interest rates are 45% there.
Maybe you can finish that up when we get back, and we're heading into a break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen, Melody, taking care of other client businesses. Final segment. As always, you know where to get her, 1-800-375-4188. Okay, now, don't kill the messenger on this one. Love her or despise her, music icon Taylor Swift is coming to a classroom near you or your children. Swift's relationship with Kansas City Chiefs football tight end Travis Kelce is more than just a love affair. It's an economics case study. According to University of Kansas professor Misty Hegenis, she's created a Taylor Swift curriculum called Swiftynomics 101 to help high school and college teachers convey economics lessons by analyzing the 34-year-old pop star's effect on the NFL's business. Hegenis uses the Swift NFL case study to teach something called the theory of the firm and to drill down into the economics of discrimination. Lynn McDonald, who's an economics professor at St. Cloud St. University, says it's just such a fun topic. She apparently suggested the idea for this curriculum to Hegenis. Well, 109 teachers signed up for the initial webinar in the curriculum last week, and at least one raised the topic with his class, though he hasn't implemented the whole thing just yet. Turns out Swift has actually been good for the NFL's bottom line. Research shows that her presence at Chiefs games has really increased viewership, particularly among younger women and Generation Z. Well, Swift fans aren't just watching, too. They're buying NFL merch and posting about the Chiefs and driving a heck of a lot of news stories about the NFL in general.
That's valuable brand marketing. In fact, $331 million in value, according to one estimate, conducted even before the Chiefs made it to this year's Super Bowl, which is this Sunday. Hooking younger fans is critical for the NFL. Gen Z is said to be less into professional sports than their parents or grandparents. Anything that gets them into the sport, therefore, is inherently valuable to the league. The New York Times reported a couple of years ago, for the major sports leagues, attracting young audiences is a matter of survival. Whether the league likes it or not, American society has crossed a Rubicon that imperils the business of traditional sports. Well, first lesson in Hegness's curriculum involves the theory of the firm, as I mentioned. That's a big picture way of conceptualizing how companies work. One key piece, businesses, in this case the NFL, make decisions to help maximize their profits. If the goal is to boost the bottom line in the short term, the company might trim costs or lay off workers. But the goal could be long-term, like cultivating a new generation of customers or fans like the NFL. But here, Swift is doing that for the sports league, and the NFL wouldn't want to get in the way of that, would they? Meanwhile, the boost to the NFL's brand didn't come without a downside. A group of core football fans is critical of all the attention Swift is getting. There are even some fringe conspiracy theories from the anti-Swifties by QAnon types. The criticism offers more advanced students a lesson about the economics of discrimination, according to Hegness. That's the idea that discrimination against certain kinds of customers or workers is inefficient, so companies won't do it. Well, that rarely holds up in real life, she says, but in the case of Taylor and the NFL, it actually does kind of hold. Instead of breaking away from boosting Swift, the NFL has held relatively firm in the wake of that subset of critics. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Chiefs owner Clark Hunt both have made positive statements about Swift's impact on their industry. The relationship is great for the league, Goodell said it back in November. Well, the criticism of Swift's presence at football games also offers other lessons about the intersection of gender, economics, and the workplace. There's little objection to Swift last summer when she was garnering attention for her Eras tour and its huge economic impact. But when she started gaining ground in the traditionally male space of the NFL, that's when the blowback started, Agnes points out. Lynn McDonald says students don't always come to economics and think it's super interesting or relevant. They maybe have a negative view of it. Well, the Taylor Swift curriculum shows that economics can involve things that they actually care about. Hey, as long as it attracts the attention of people who need to learn about the way the economy works, I say an enthusiastic two thumbs up. Hey, the Fed's closely watched survey of senior banking lending officers out yesterday suggests an improvement in access to credit for business. As we know, credit is the lifeblood of the U.S. economy, and it got much harder to come by after the Fed launched its rate hiking campaign in March of 2022 with 11 increases to its Fed funds rate, taking it to a range of 5.25% to 5.5%. Well, according to the St. Louis Fed, anyway, the net share of banks that said they tightened credit standards for commercial and industrial loans as of the end of last year declined from about 70% during the early months of the pandemic in 2020 to 18.6% for smaller banks and all the way to 14.5% for mid-sized and larger banks. It was closer to 90% at the height of the Great Recession in 2008 and 2009, and was as high as 50% as recently as early last year. Now, the figures were negative territory from late 2009 through early 2020, just before the pandemic shutdowns began. Well, more respondents to the Fed survey indicate they were tightening credit than easing it. The size of that majority is shrinking, suggesting that some bankers are less inclined to cut back on credit than they were before. We'll see where all this lands in the coming months as we get more reports. Hey, I have a piece in this week's American Survival newsletter called Punxsutawney Phil, Not the Only One Seeing Shadows. Jerome Powell is asking Americans to be patient as the effects of high interest rates multiply through our economy. At the same time, the Fed chair said he still expects multiple interest rate cuts this year. In a 60 Minutes interview telecast Sunday evening, Powell accepted that the consequences of the Fed's war on inflation have resulted in difficulties for would-be homebuyers. Mighty big of him. Powell, who admitted that the Fed was debating when to start cutting rates, emphasized how crucial it is to make sure inflation is down to the Fed's 2% target. It's important, he said, particularly for younger couples starting out who may not have great financial means, that we succeed in this effort. He added, we will do so, but that means interest-sensitive spending like mortgages and buying durable goods and things like that are going to be expensive for a while longer. But this is all part of getting back to a place of price stability when interest rates can be low again on a sustainable basis. Well, hey, credit where credit is due. I mean, at least Powell didn't say inflation is going away for good, because it's not. In fact, with any fiat currency like the dollar and a central bank that can manufacture money out of thin air, inflation will always be a natural byproduct. Now, in any event, when CBS's Scott Pelley asked Powell whether he wanted Americans to have patience, he answered a resounding yes. I think people have been patient and have been through a pretty difficult time. And I think now we're coming through that time and starting to feel a little bit better about things. As he was pointing to recent surveys showing that consumer sentiment is rising as inflation continues to inch downward. Powell added that for the Fed to get inflation all the way down to 2%, interest-sensitive areas, particularly housing, are a good example of the kind of things that do slow down when rates go up. Indeed, any home builder can confirm that the housing industry has been mired in its own recession since the heydays of the pandemic. The average mortgage rate was 6.6% as of last week, according to Freddie Mac, down from the recent peak of nearly 8% at the end of last year. But Mortgage Daily News reported yesterday that they're over 7% again, hitting 7.04%. Well, whether 6.6 or 7.04, mortgages are still well above the historic lows we saw during the height of the COVID lockdowns as the Fed sought to save our economy from the pandemic shockwaves. Since the Fed's historic interest rate campaign began in March 2022, home buyers have faced a double whammy of high borrowing costs and high housing prices from a lack of supply. Powell also told 60 Minutes that Americans shouldn't expect prices for a slew of goods or services to drop lower. He said the prices of some things will decline and others will go up, but we don't expect to see a decline in the overall price level. No disinflation or deflation, excuse me. He added that high prices for basic necessities explain why Americans have been relatively dissatisfied with what is otherwise a pretty good economy, his words. Notably, Powell said the Fed would likely still slash rates at least three times this year. Projection indicated in Fed officials' forecast released after their December policy meeting. Quote, nothing has happened in the meantime that would lead me, this is Powell, to think that people would dramatically change their forecasts. Yet, the big question on everyone's mind is when the first rate cut will occur. Last week, Powell told reporters after the Fed's latest policy meeting that an interest rate cut in March was unlikely. And in the interview with 60 Minutes, it was recorded a day after he made those comments, Powell reiterated his position. Quote, we've said that we want to be more confident that inflation is moving down to 2%. it's not likely that this committee will reach that level of confidence in time for the March meeting, unquote. Well, Fed fund future traders are finally falling in line. As I alluded to last segment, their bets on rates staying the same in March are up to, well, over 80% as of early afternoon today, Eastern time. Just last Wednesday, only 46% did. Powell's 60 Minutes interview was recorded before the release of the January government jobs report that showed the economy created a surprising 353,000 jobs last month. And on top of the job figures, Friday's government report also showed that hourly wages rose 0.6% in January over December and are up 4.5% from a year ago, giving workers a big win over inflation. That data will almost certainly make Fed policy makers even more reluctant to lower interest rates sooner than later, fearing that a continuing formidable labor market could keep inflation high. Well, Powell says that weakness in the labor market and inflation really persuasively coming down would make the Fed want to cut interest rates sooner. Friday's pay numbers are another sign that the labor market is anything but weak and that workers still have leverage over employers in some industries. Wages have now been outpacing inflation, in fact, since last May. But for the 2 years before that, the scenario was reversed. Still, some economists think the January wage number could be a little too optimistic. They say that hourly earnings might have been higher last month, in part because of a decline in the number of hours worked. And from the heart of the holiday season. Plus, there are other worrying signs that wage growth could in fact be slowing. ZipRecruiter chief economist Julia Pollack notes that the pay offered in job postings that her company shows has come down a lot over the past year. So wages are beating inflation these days, but economists don't think it's a worrying sign of a brewing wage price spiral that will send inflation back up through the roof. So as long as the government keeps dishing out reports like last Friday's, I'm in the camp of those betting on the Fed starting to cut rates later rather than sooner. Indeed, if the economy is like the iconic Punxsutawney Phil, the markets are seeing a lot of shadows as another week unfolds. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, be careful out there. It's an unforgiving market. Make sure your portfolio is adequately insured with plenty of physical gold and silver. Hey, that's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be back on Thursday. Butch will join Melody tomorrow, along with Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. Thanks always to our production engineer, Todd Waite, and to you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Please be safe out there. Don't eat too much frozen yogurt. Have a good evening. Bye-bye. That's too bad. I'm